This is a Collider.com audio interview.
His role was amazing.
I got to tell you, I mean, that's sort of like our staple food. Like meat pies and sausage rolls are our hot dogs and things like that, right? So it's classic food. I've never had a pie as good as this. And I was like, I was going down the street. And I went, Australian meat pies? Australia? What? And I went in and I bought them for the kids because my daughter loves them. And she just flipped out, and so I said, you guys got to come on set. And they are literally the best meat pies, sausage rolls, together, lamingtons, pavlovas. But then they got a little creative with the Vegemite on crackers.
The smell was lingering all the way up to the third floor.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No, it's good. We only have about 20 minutes so with Hugh.
So you get two Wolverine movies in a row.
Like, right, yeah. Really? Weirdly, you found out about this around October last year, which was, let me think, we were about a month or 6 weeks off finishing, and I was literally planning the lamingtons and meat pies I was going to eat at Christmas. And in a way, it's easier because when you're physically in shape and mentally in that space, it's sort of easier to follow on. So I had a little time off in between, and I did another film in that time, and then straight back into it. Mm-hmm. Grew the sideburns, and away we go again. It's been awesome, though. I mean, I am enjoying playing him as much as ever, but there's something about this film that is... I feel so lucky that 14 years later I'm back working with Brian and all that old... Not, I shouldn't say old, but the older crew, me too. But and also this young cast who I'm just so impressed with in every way. Not just... Obviously, they're great actors, but it's definitely Brian and I are sort of walking into their atmosphere. This is... There's no doubt, I mean, a lot of the film takes place, obviously, in the past, and I'd say a good 60% of it plays there. So, and it is obviously a sequel to First Class, and they created such a strong bond. And we had such a strong bond that I was thought, oh, I wonder how this is going to work out, because all of us coming back together for the third time or fourth time playing again, and then it's been amazing, and I'm really impressed with them, and just like two great movies in one.
You realize that you were like the linchpin, though, to make this movie happen. Because if you had said no, this Days of Future Past never happens.
Yeah, I would have rewritten it. Don't worry. That would have come up with someone else who could travel back in time, I'm sure.
Talk a little bit about when you were presented with the material, knowing it's going to be Days of Future Past, which is, especially after The Wolverine, which is an iconic, based on an iconic comic, this is based on a very iconic X-Men series.
Right, right. You know, I didn't know that as much. Obviously, I'm more myopic about Wolverine. And you know, Siv, I didn't really know X-Men at all before I started. So I'd heard of this comic, but I didn't know it was as beloved or as iconic as I have now found out. But I just know fans are going to flip out at this because, as they know, with Brian, you get... There's no director, I think, better at handling multi-character stories. I mean, he knows how to do that. He showed Unusual Suspects right through. And they're always smart. They're always engaging. They're always surprising. And I think it's fascinating to watch him grow, as I'm sure we all have, as a director. He's... embraces the emotional side of the story in this fully. There's a lot of comedy in it as well, and all things that I'm not saying he was scared about, but he was worried in the first one tonally about setting a new tone for these movies, which, you know, had been seen as too broad prior, and there really hadn't been any, you know, I think after the Batman movies, the original series. So he really wanted to create a very realistic, very human, emotionally sort of rich sort of dynamic, and it's just gone to another level on this. It's a very epic movie, big, big, big movie.
How do you feel you've evolved as a person, as a character throughout this entire...
Oh, a lot. Yeah, and it's nice to have a touchstone like this, something to go back to all the time. You know, Brian, gosh, everyone's got photos, and I see photos of how it was. Like, you see 14 years ago, it's playing the same character. It seems a lifetime ago, and this character is very much the foundation, the spine of my career. So I can easily see how I've changed. I'd say I'm more confident. I was very much an actor based in the theatre when I got the job, and I'd done some TV and film, but I was more comfortable on the stage, and I think that's equaled out for me as much. I've had lucky enough to have a number of shots at being in film, so I'm enjoying that as much and loving it. So I've sort of grown more confident, and probably my appreciation for the character has grown, and that thing where you know there's a day when you're not going to be playing it, and that becomes clearer to you, you know, as I've been doing for 14 years. So, of course, at some point I'm going to have to pass it on. So I guard it in a way more jealously. I appreciate it more, and I'm enjoying it more than ever. I think the last Wolverine movie was a script I could really get into, and this one equally is something I've really enjoyed as much as any of the others. I'm very chatty today. Sorry, I'm giving long answers.
it's the meat pie.
Yeah, I'm just so high on that Lamington.
It's pretty rare that in a film you get the chance to play opposite two actors who are playing the same character.
Right.
Can you talk about like the difference in energy or the complementary energy between, for instance, Ian McKellen and Michael Fassbender?
Well, you know, what is amazing is with this story, like playing with, I'm not talking about the actors, but the character Xavier. It's very much at the center of the story. He and Michael and Jennifer are really very much at the center here. So, and Nick as well. So playing with the younger character, you really get a chance to see a much broader range of that character than we ever really got with Patrick, you know, because he was a much more set character in a way. So his journey is huge, and I get to follow it through, as you said, with both actors, and both incredible actors. All four incredible actors. I mean, I'm sure, in fact, I know that Ian and Patrick are thrilled that James and Michael are playing those characters, because I thought one of the most difficult things when I saw X-Men First Class, I was like, will they be able to create that chemistry, the subtlety, the layered, complex relationship that Ian and Patrick did in very little time, screen time? Because for me, I've known them for years as theatre actors, right? And I always thought, well, this is the screen version. This is like the English version of De Niro and Pacino and Heat. This is, these two actors up against each other is amazing. And I think these the younger actors have created that, and maybe even more, because I think there's more for them to explore story-wise. So it's, I'm not sure if I answered your question, but it's been really exciting and fascinating to watch.
Something that we've all been waiting to see is a kick-ass fight between Wolverine and the Sentinels.
Yeah.
Seeing really great Sentinels on screen.
Right.
Being engaged properly.
Yes.
You know, by the X-Men.
Yeah.
So I know you can't tell us much about the movie.
Yeah.
But please reveal what you can about any possible scenes.
That's a generous question. I appreciate it. I feel the heat from my back left shoulder. Yes, you do see battling, and I'll tell you, you see battling in the future, you see battling in the past, and not just me battling them, but all the characters. And I think it's exciting after doing, actually, two Wolverine movies in a row, is that thing of how the X-Men work together. So I'm trying to give you a little something without giving you much, but they need to work together in order to bring down the Sentinels.
Well, can you talk a little bit about the Sentinels in the past and the future, and how different they are? Or is it something, you know what I mean?
I was just told I can't tell you about the future. Because you guys have seen the past, right?
Yes.
You've seen the past Sentinels?
We saw Brian's picture.
Oh, the picture, right.
A bit of video. There was a video thing that was posted during
COVID. They did a viral marketing campaign.
Yeah. Oh,
like
right,
selling
right.
The Sentinels.
All I can tell you, and I'm probably going to tell you this, is that in the future, the Sentinels are formidable. I mean, they're formidable in the past and in the future, but in the future, it is a very dire situation for the X-Men. Joe's happy, no one else is, right? Sorry.
So when they present you Days of Future Past, and it's kind of this really weird and complicated story, do you ever worry that the next time around they're going to come with something even more weird and complicated? Because like,
I know with Brian, like, you could see the evolution from X1 to X2. He's someone who loves that kind of complexity of story. I mean, he's a ridiculously smart guy. And he understands and can hold so many characters. So it has gone to another level. But he's a mad... See, Brian's a fan of many sort of things. Like, he was a Superman fan. I knew that. He was he's a World War II freak, right? Hence Valkyrie. And I'm not sure if that's been exercised or not, if it's got more. But he loves time travel movies. So for him, this is not just a, oh, great, we're going to travel back in time. It's important to him to create the most incredible time travel movie of all time. And that means anyone who's even vaguely tempted to write a time travel movie means it's easy to pitch and very difficult in the details, mm-hmm. because every line, every action, everything, and you've got to set up the rules very carefully so an audience understands it, but then you have to pay it off in many ways, and it's difficult, as well as having 20 characters, you know, across that. So Brian is in his element. He has, actually, when I first heard about it, I was like, I said yes on the phone. This is a slam dunk. And there was, you know, part of me was like, oh, I'm doing Wolverine, do I do it again? But there was no way I was ever going to say no to being, without even seeing the script, with Brian in a story, with everyone involved. It's, you know, who knows? This may be my last time playing it. And if it is, it couldn't be a better time to... Better way, not better time, but a better way to kind of wrap it up.
Well, like recently they've done in the comic books where like alternate universe Wolverines meet each other.
Shit.
Are you worried you'll have to play two Wolverines in the same
No, I'm worried, yeah. But I'll probably end up doing it. Yeah. 20 of us. What? Who? Shut up, Bob. Who said Bob? I said Bob. but who knows? I think the exciting thing, and the reason I suppose... I'm fully aware that people will hear the idea and think, they've just come up with a way to bring everyone together, right? And the great thing is I don't have to sell it because I know the storyline is phenomenal. It's going to definitely, any of the cynics out there, it's going to exceed their expectations by a million miles. Because it's a very strong emotional story, which I think has always been the strength of X-Men. Following the humane and difficult side and tortured side of all these superheroes, but it's also intellectually very, very engaging, and the action is ridiculous. I mean, I probably shouldn't tell you this either, but the biggest Fox movie ever outside of Avatar, so it's a massive movie.
How is Logan different this time around? I mean, it's like your seventh time playing him. Do you get new areas to explore with the
character? Yeah, many, many.
Can I talk about the dynamic with Xavier? You know, how it's...
When you guys
it very much follows on from the Wolverine. That was a no, by the way. You get the feeling that he's come to terms with who he is. I'm a warrior, I'm Wolverine, and that's who I am, right? For better or worse, it's not all going to be pretty, but here we go. And then soon after, as you saw in the teaser, he gets approached. Now he's actually, it's all hands on deck. It doesn't matter which side you're on in terms of mutant politics. It's all hands on deck. This is survival. It's about survival. So he's on board, but he's very much in the center of it in terms of... the team, so to speak. And then he's sent back to try and fix things. And as he says, I'm the last person in the world who should be sent back on this mission, you know. If you want someone to go back and take someone's head off, fantastic. But he's actually really got to go back and almost act in parts as... inspiration, as mentor, as guide, because he can't do it all on his own, which is always his preferred method. If he could just do it all himself, but he can't because of the nature of the story. So he has to sort of become not necessarily a leader, because I'd still call Xavier the leader here, but in a way he has to become a facilitator for everyone to come together, which is not his normal modus operandi, and it's certainly not easy for him. I'm struggling.
You might have gotten the best drop of an F-bomb in the previous movie.
Yeah.
And is there a little competition between everyone about who might be able to get it in this one?
Yeah, no, I'm happy. You always ask the best questions, too. But fair to say, if there's an F-bomb, I'm going to have to let that go to another character in this one. And I'm happy. I feel like if you can do a movie... say two or three words and one of them's the F-bomb and get out, then don't try and repeat that. Let's move on. It was... Yeah. I always feel weird about that because I didn't get paid for that, but they very kindly for that movie. But Fox very kindly made a donation, a charitable donation, right, to my kids' schools. And I always think slightly weird handing over the check when listen, don't ask me how I got this, but there you go. I think I may be the only person to be rewarded charitably and get a tax deduction for swearing on film.
I like it.
That's a scoop for you. I haven't told that to anyone. There you go.
You know, you mentioned something interesting, the idea that you might eventually not play this character anymore.
Hmm.
You know, and we asked Lauren about that earlier, and she was just kind of like, God, let's not talk about it.
Right.
I mean, have you ever thought, and I'm not trying to get you to say, oh, I've got two more movies and I'm done, but I mean, how seriously have you thought about how long do I want to do this role?
I don't think about that, how long. I know 100% it'll come to an end, and it should. You know, I think I've said it before. I always think the great parts outlive the actors that play them, and that's a stage tradition that goes back hundreds of years, and it should be that way, right? Obviously, particularly as you guys know, I came off the bench to play this part, and when people come off the bench and they get a role, they're even more reluctant to give it up. But I love playing it, and I really love playing the Wolverine, and I was very motivated to do what I felt was a more definitive version of that character, and being in this is a dream. There's no way I would miss out on this opportunity, right? So to go on from there, here's how I think. It has to be more interesting than The Last Wolverine if I'm going to do a Wolverine movie. It has to be more compelling. And the same with an ensemble piece, if it's whatever it's called. It would have to be the same thing. I don't know when that will be. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what will happen. I mean, obviously, Wolverine's still in the theatres, and this has got a year to go. So in a way, I'm not even thinking about it right now. But that's always been my sort of touchstone. And actually, I feel better within myself, and I think the team do in terms of what we created with the Wolverine, and that I feel like I've, in a way, I don't want to. I was about to say something that I know will look bad in print, but I don't feel the weight of that like I did after the last Wolverine. After the first Wolverine, I still feel like we still haven't created that movie, and I've been so lucky to play it, and I always wanted to have that feeling of, in 30 years, when someone says, oh, what movie should I watch? I go, watch this one. Tell me about Wolverine. What's a Wolverine? And I go, that's Wolverine, you know? And I won't tell you now, but there's probably someone says, what X-Men movie will I watch? Well, you never know. Maybe this one. But anyway, that's what motivates me.
We have time for one last question.
I was going to say,
I'll give you one more, Steve.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, I mean, nobody wants you to stop playing Wolverine, but how do you feel physically? Because it looks like you are in the greatest shape ever.
I feel really good, weirdly.
No, I mean, you look like you were in even better shape than you were before in this last Wolverine movie. Do you feel like, you know, I'm sure that you have, I think you play a lot of your own stunts, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of my own stuff, except the stupid stuff, you know, like bashing your head against walls or, you know, crashing cars and all that sort of jazz. But I did it the right way. I had a good amount of time to prepare, so I built slowly. I hit Wolverine and this movie without any injuries, which was the first time. Every time I've done Wolverine, I've had carried some kind of injury because I've had to race to get ready. Mm-hmm. I did it slowly. I felt great. I felt great throughout. Tired, but, and it is harder, I'll admit that, but I felt really good. So physically, for me, I feel better now probably than I did in the earlier films, actually. So that's not an issue for me yet.
You look great.
Well, thank you.
It's
all the meat pies. That's my. You guys saw the Wolverine diet. Steve.
I definitely, this is going to be like I would imagine that at some point you went out with Patrick or Ian or some of the X-Men cast either for dinner or for wherever it might be. A, have you ever thought about going out in a group as in like wearing costumes? Because I would imagine you would just make someone's day. And B, did you guys ever go out as a group and just have fun with like fans freaking out, you know, seeing all of you? It's a very stupid question, but I still wanted to ask.
No, we do go out, and when we're all out, it's sort of intimidating. We are very loud. Quite often at parties, people end up singing, drinking a lot, and it can get a little intimidating. I think that's the way it seems. We don't get people coming up to us. You can tell people notice us, but it is a very social cast, this one. And let me tell you, that young cast. That's where I feel it physically. I'm like, next morning, Fassbender and Nick and James go, okay, let's go. I'm like, how do you go?
It's easy for me to be grumpy on those mornings, but a lot of the time I can't keep up with them. And the first bit was
going. Have you ever? I mean, I'm just. This
I'll go out in character.
Yeah, and also like you were. You said you went to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Wearing the costume.
I was joking, but I should.
Oh, see, that's. I thought you might have been joking. And
I was joking.
Yeah, okay, because thought it was literal.
Oh, really? Oh,
a lot of people.
Sorry. It's my sense of humor. But I heard about Bryan Cranston doing it with the Maya, and I was like, that's ingenious.
Yeah.
I was just making a joke that literally I was going around going, is that me? That's like, that guy looked more like me than me, you know? Like, and so I was just making a joke that people would go, oh, no, it can't be him, way too tall. But I think I could easily do it. It'd be fun to do. I think, it'd be really fun to do, actually, I'm just to see.
I was just saying, though, like, going out, I would imagine that going out with some of the fellow cast wearing something just be, for little kids especially.
Well, I went out on X-Men 2 with my son to for Halloween, and I went straight from set, and the makeup crew made him the full leather outfit, right? You know, it's totally spoiled, right? Every other kid's got the stupid thing with the plastic elastic thing and the whatever and the claws that don't work and look ridiculous. He had the full thing, right? And the full custom-made leather. And I was behind him, and I had not hair or makeup, but I had the claws. And we went trick-or-treating all night. And once I remember someone jumping over a hedge going, it is you. I knew it was you. That's my house up there. It took like four houses. Because if you think about it, Halloween, it's probably what I should do at Comic-Con, but at Halloween, you knock on the door, and it's like, oh, hi, little, yeah. They don't even look at the parents. Plus, I remember at the time, Oscar, every third house, I'm not exaggerating, would walk in, because we'd been in houses every 3 months of his life. And I think he just thought, oh, we've moved. Like, he was... And honestly, they would say trick or treat, and there'd be that thing where he would just walk into the house, and you have the mother still going, right? One time he went up the stairs, and we were standing at the door, like, right. I don't think he understands the concept yet. I was standing there with my claws on. One person noticed. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.